One afternoon several years ago, I was stopped in my car at a traffic light. In front of me was a truck, a pickup truck that was oddly shaped. It had an unusually high tailgate. Stenciled across the tailgate were these words: "Vision impaired driver, stay back 8 feet." I remember thinking at the time, I hope 8 feet will be enough. Morningside Church has been anything but vision impaired in recent years. For the past 3 years, we have been either preparing for or implementing what we have called the Vision 2010 Strategic Plan. The centerpiece of that plan, as you know, as the building refurbishing campaign entitled A Time of Promise, its fourfold purposes being the renovation of our wonderful organ, which leads us in worship every week under the skilled leadership of Walter Huff, the renovation of our sanctuary, the renovation of the entire wing of the church, and the installation of an elevator so that our facilities will be accessible to all people. It is actually quite a remarkable story, because when the vision began, we were still a small, struggling family church. But nevertheless, we felt genuinely led to set out in a new direction. I remember saying to one of our generous friends who is here today, when he asked me how things were going here, I said, "Well, we might be limited in resources, but we are really loaded with hope over there." And sure enough, we have been really loaded with hope over here. We have taken to heart Paul's understanding of what it means to live the life of faith. We have left behind dark days and gloomy prospects, and we have pressed on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. Like the children of Israel who left Egypt to travel to the promised land, we set out trusting God. Like Simon and Andrew beside the Sea of Galilee, who heard the Lord and heard him say to them, "Come, follow me," we have set out to do something new, trusting God. We did not know how it would go. We knew we would be, and that we still are, resourced challenged, so to speak. But we are abundantly blessed with the grace of God. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 has come to mind. Remember how the disciples were astonished the day that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000. Actually, it says, the Greek text says 5,000 men. So I think there were women and children there. We're to think that he fed 1 million, perhaps, with 12 baskets left over. That's how we feel today, awash in the abundant grace of God. On Thursday, we had company over to the church, a group of between 70 and 80 ministers and lay leaders from around the presbytery gathered in our freshly painted fellowship hall. The purpose of the meeting was for attendees to learn how to reach out to their communities using computerized demographic data about the neighborhoods in which churches are located. And I'll just say that I'm all for computer data, but I also know that the two key ingredients in the life of the Christian church that pleases God are these: the ability to receive the grace of God, and a deep sense of hope that what God starts, God will finish. you cannot quantify or measure either divine grace or human hope. I love the way Jürgen Moltmann, who has written so eloquently about the theology of hope, what he says about that ingredient, hope. He says, in Germany, we have a little stand-up man, a toy figure with an egg-shaped body and weight in the base. If you knock that little man down on one side, he pops right back up. If you knock him down the other way, he pops back up. If you lie down on him for 15 minutes and you get up, he gets up too. This is the power of hope. And this is the way to real freedom. Something happened here. Something happened in this congregation, in this place. Anxiety about whether we could climb the mountains that were before us was transformed into forward motion. We got out our pickaxes and up we went. We remembered here that the future is not something you and I have to create, but it is always a gift from God. When at last the time came for the Israelites to depart from Egypt, to leave behind their dark and hopeless days, God had their journey already mapped out for them. And God even anticipated that the day would soon come that the people, if they had to face formidable opposition, just might want to turn around and go back to Egypt. He decided to lead them the roundabout way so that they would avoid an encounter with the Philistines. I think that's just a good rule in general, always avoid the Philistines. We ourselves know something about the roundabout way. We drew plans, and then we drew more plans because the first plans weren't exactly what we needed. We waited for permits. Lord have mercy, did we wait for permits? We waited for organ pipes to be cast. We climbed around in this sanctuary under scaffolding. We breathed in dust. We painted walls. And during the difficult, irritating times, I did hear a hint or two that some of us might wish that we could just go back to the simpler days. I understood that. I myself found myself wistful about the Holy Family water stain that was right up there in the sanctuary ceiling. Amazingly, during all the construction, the congregation has continued to grow so that it has come to pass that you might come to church and sit on a pew and not know whether the person sitting right next to you is a lifetime member of Morningside or is visiting for the first time. And no longer can you leave home at 5 minutes to 11 and expect to find a parking place right beside the door. It's natural to be uneasy about change. And yet, here's the choice. People of faith must either give up and atrophy in place, or they must move forward in faith. Those are our options, and I am glad we have chosen the latter. You probably remember that old question about how many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? One to change the bulb. Nine to talk about how great the old bulb was. This is not to say that we are leaving behind the traditions that sustain us. Did you hear, Chris? Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. The Israelite people honored their tradition. They honored their past and those who had led them. we must never leave behind the heritage of those who have gone before us, because it is those traditions that have made us who we are now. And interestingly, our tradition has been never to sit down and just have a pity party. Our tradition has been to get up and move out, to go out into the community in service and advocacy, to be responsible for each new generation of children and young people entrusted to our care. Visionaries started this church. Visionaries built this building in 1949. Then as now, a mortgage was taken out in order to complete the project under the leadership of Dr. Arthur Van Gibson. One of the most interesting things about those days is that the base of the steeple was installed during that construction project. But because of costs, the steeple itself was not put on for a number of years. I love that tradition, one that combines both forward thinking and frugality. I love our tradition of trust, trusting that if we will move forward, God will fully supply whatever we need to be His people here and now. God knew the Hebrew people would need guidance, and so the Lord went before them in a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, so that they could travel if they needed to 24/7. And that 24/7, they would always have God's guiding hand. I love knowing that. I take great comfort in knowing that God is always there, even when we can't see our own hand in front of our face, much less God's hand. God is there. God knows where we're going. Last week, I found myself so distressed over the daily news that I decided to spend all of Sunday and all of Monday not listening to any news whatsoever. I tuned it all out. I needed to gain some spiritual strength for the facing of these days. And what I realized through that little spiritual discipline is that, well, I realized many things. One thing is that the stock market and its ups and downs, the stock market is very important, but listen, the market is not God. The stimulus bill is extremely important, but the stimulus bill will not save us. We who follow Christ believe this, that God and God alone is our refuge and our strength. God will be an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid, regardless of the Dow Jones and the stimulus package. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Last weekend, our session met in retreat under the leadership of Tom Toole, one of the most gifted preachers of this generation. He told us the story of Alexander the Great, of Alexander's leading his mighty army across Asia Minor. This was in the early 300s BCE. They conquered every foe along the way. And when they were far, far from home, they came upon a mountain range that was not on their map. It was the Himalayas. Leaders on the front line sent word back to Alexander asking what to do, and Alexander sent back this word to the front: mediocre armies stay within known borders. Great armies march off the map. Our faith tells us that when we enter uncharted territory, what might seem unknown to us is always known to God, and God will guide us through. I wonder how many of us personally have missed out on the opportunities that have been placed before us because we were afraid to march off the map, to break out of the mold, to explore an unexplored part of ourselves. I think of a friend of mine, an outstanding biblical scholar, probably the expert in the world on the Dead Sea Scrolls. He was born into a large family, and he is very close to his family. Neither he nor his brothers and sisters ever, neither his brothers and sisters or his parents ever finished high school. He has any number of earned and honorary degrees. How diminished the world of biblical scholarship would be if he had been too timid to step off the map, to move outside expectations and customary family patterns. We have marched off the map here at Morningside. No one expected us to be where we are today. Protestantism itself is in a steep decline in the United States. 3,500 Christian churches close their doors every year in America. And we have gone across that against that trend. Our membership has increased. Our giving has increased. The number of hours our members give to mission and to sustain the programs of the church, all of that has increased. I've said before, 4 years ago there were 10 children here. Now there are over 100. To God be the glory. Let us put on the garment of celebration today. But here is a question. Now what? Shall we boldly step out in new ways and go about the business of serving others in the name of Christ? New times call for new ideas. We're going to need to get going into uncharted territory tomorrow, but we'll be all right. Nourished by our wonderful worship and music ministry, heartened by our fellowship with one another, tomorrow we will hit the road again, following the same line of march by which we have come thus far, but remembering that that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire have a mind of their own, and that mind is nothing less than the mind of God. We can step out trusting that God knows what we need to do. I have not had the revelation yet, but I know that it will come, and it will come more likely to you or to a group of you than it will come to Chris and me. It was to the people of God that God gave the vision and the guidance back in the day. God needed the people to be a blessing. We have been saved so that we might be a blessing too. It would be tempting to look around on a day like today and say, oh, isn't it nice here? Let's just stay here and water the plants and do the same old. But we can't do that. Because we follow one who said, I must be about my Father's business, and so must we. So must we press on, drawing strength from the deep well of his life and death and resurrection, remembering that God's love is never diminished by being expended. Here is the key to the future, remembering that the more we give ourselves away, the more Christ-like our church will be. The more lives that are transformed by biblical teaching and intellectual exploration, the more useful we will be to the great, mysterious, only wise God who can never be confined in a closed box of dogma. The more these walls burst with children and young people learning and laughing and being happy in God's house, the more Christ-like our church will be. Only a few times in any generation do things happen that are of lasting significance. I am convinced that what God is doing here and now has lasting significance. Significance that will last 100 years or more. No, we cannot see the road ahead, but God can. And that's enough for me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.